If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospels are a beautiful portion of Scripture to read because they focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they tell us about our Savior. They tell us about the Son of God. They reveal to us the one in whom we can trust and place our lives in His hands. But in Luke chapter 10, there's an account of a man that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was having a discussion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that discussion, he brought up a portion of Scripture. In fact, he brought up a commandment that the Lord had given in verse number 27. And the man said this in response to the Lord Jesus Christ. He answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we need your word. Your word is true. Your word is absolutely true. Your word is settled in heaven. Nothing on earth can change the word of God. No event, no circumstances can diminish it. Lord, your word will never lose its power. Lord, your word, we trust. Your word is relevant for today. Lord, your word is good for us to live by. Every word of God is pure. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us your word. This is the word of God, and we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, may our hearts be receptive to it this morning. May they be open to it. May we receive it. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. Lord, speak to us, not through me, but by thy Spirit, Lord. Lord, speak to each one of us this morning. Do the work that you purpose to do for your glory, for your praise, by your grace, and by your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The man in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 27 answered the Lord Jesus Christ and responded with the first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And then the second commandment as well, love thy neighbor as thyself. This morning I want us to look down at verse number 30 because the Lord Jesus Christ would go on to explain really the practical application and the meaning of what it really means to love your neighbor as yourself. Down in verse number 30, Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." And this morning we're going to skip down to verse number 33 because honestly, I'm not really interested in what the certain priest did or the Levite did. I just want to get down to the meaning of what the Lord Jesus Christ would say and the lesson that he would have. In verse number 33, it says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." You know, here as we look at this passage of Scripture and we just reflect and think about this this passage where the Lord Jesus Christ really in depth explains a very practical application of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Down in verse number 37, the Lord says, go and do thou likewise. And so obviously the Lord would have us to understand that this is a lesson for us. This is something that we need to learn, that we need to learn to love our neighbors, that we need to learn to love others. And the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining how we can do that and how we ought to do that in a very practical way. But you know, every lesson that is to be lived first needs to be a lesson that is learned. Without learning the lesson first ourselves, we will never really be able to live that lesson out in our lives. And this is a lesson that we are to live, because the Lord Jesus Christ said to this man, he says, go and do thou likewise. And he would say to us, go and do thou likewise. And I believe in these days, in these weeks, in these months, as life goes on, the Lord has a lot of lessons for us to learn as a church, as individuals, as Christians, as believers. And I believe one of the greatest lessons he has is to realize that, you know, church is not about buildings. It's not about seats. It's about people. It's about individuals. You know, I many times have reflected as a pastor that when they built church buildings, they would always, right outside the window in full view of where the pastor would preach from, there would be the cemetery. And one time I can remember looking and wondering, why would they put the cemetery right there? And it was to remind the preacher, it was to remind the pastor that as he was preaching, it was more than giving a speech, it was more than giving a lecture in a classroom, that you were speaking to individuals and you were speaking about the most important matter that would face them in their lives, their soul and their eternity. And every time that pastor would look out and he would see those gravestones in that cemetery, it would stir his heart and remember that this might be the last opportunity you have to preach to that person before they step off into eternity and face God. And you know, as I look out this morning, all I see is empty seats. Oh, there's a few folks here. There's a couple of people helping out, but I see a majority of empty seats. And I remind myself that it's not about seats. It's not about chairs. It's not about a building. It's not about programs. It's not about how I dress or whether I'm wearing a necktie or not. It's about the Word of God coming forth to you as a person, as an individual, so that God can, through His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ, impact your life, not only now, but for all eternity. And the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us this lesson. And He's saying that we should do likewise, that we should go and care for others. And yet, it's a lesson that first needs to be learned. And I want us to see three things in this portion of Scripture this morning. You know, it says in verse number 30, that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Boy, I tell you what, this man's life was really in circumstances that were just of the worst nature. I mean, he fell among thieves. They took his clothes. They wounded him. They left. And he's laying there on the side of the road, half dead. Without hope, in despair, in pain. And then the Bible says this in verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know, as I first studied this out, my first purpose in preaching this message and bringing forth this passage of Scripture was first to just really remind us of this is what we need to do. We need to have compassion on others. This is not a time to look and to judge and inspect other people. This is a time, like in verse number 33, it says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. This Samaritan came to where this man was in his life. It was not a pretty picture. It was not a picture of hope. It was not a picture of joy and gladness. This man is lying on the side of the road, half dead, because he's been robbed by thieves. Everything has been taken, and he's wounded. And yet the Bible said this Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. You know, folks, this is not a time for us to just forget about others. It's time to look at others and to look where they are in their lives. Because it says, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. But you know, as I was studying this out, it was brought to my attention that what the Lord was showing this man, what the Lord is showing us, is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. For you see, when you speak about compassion, if you're going to learn the lesson of compassion, you first need to learn that lesson from the Lord Jesus Christ and his compassion for you. I want you to turn back, if you will, for a moment. Turn back to Psalm 86 and verse number 15. Psalm 86 and verse number 15, where the Bible says this. In Psalm 86 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." It says, the Lord our God, God, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is full of compassion. You know, as you go through the Gospels, you can see that. As the Lord Jesus Christ came to people in all their circumstances, in all their situations, one thing you see over and over again is that when he came to them, as the Lord Jesus Christ journeyed, as he did exactly what he said, as he walked down his path in his life, when he came to where someone was, over and over again, you can see as he looked at their life, as he looked at their circumstances, as he looked at them as an individual, his heart was filled with compassion. I mean, turn back to Matthew chapter 20 for a minute. And just consider with me for a few moments the circumstances that these people were in from their perspective and the Lord's response. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse number 29. Well, let's back up, as I always do, to verse number 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.'" So here you have two men. They're blind. They're sitting on the side of the road. They're begging. What a despairing, discouraging, hopeless life they live. And they cry out. When they hear Jesus Christ coming by, they cry out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebukes them because they should hold their peace. But they cry the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still, called them, and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Look at verse number 34. "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." You know, if you turn over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and in Mark chapter 1, we have another individual. He was in a worse condition. It's one thing to have your eyes, you can't see, to be blind. But this man was even in a worse condition. And you come down to, verse number 39 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. Speaking of Jesus, he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Look at verse 40. "There came a leper to him." Now, a leper was an individual that had a disease, had a sickness that was, I mean, it was unto death. But and what a painful sickness it was. Sores all over your body. But worse than that was the social aspect that this leper had to stay on the other side of the road. He had to say, "Unclean, don't come near me, I'm unclean." And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Look at verse number 41. "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed." You go over to Mark chapter 5, once again, Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, we have another individual, and Boy, I tell you what, this one's, we could say it's even worse. Verse number 2, when he, Jesus, come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And the Lord Jesus Christ would heal this man. He would cast the demon out of him. And you come down to verse number 15, and it says they come to Jesus. They see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. But I want you to notice down in verse number 19 what the Lord said to him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." And why? Because the Lord had compassion on thee. You know, in Mark chapter 5, it speaks of an individual that his life was so despairing and so much within that the Bible says he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And you know, to any individual this morning, in fact, turn over to Luke chapter 7, one more passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, there's one more individual I want to bring to your attention. In Luke chapter 7, verse number 13. Here's a mom, a mother. The only son of this mother had died. In verse number 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." You know, if you go back to Luke chapter 10, everywhere you look, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the face of this earth, every individual he came to, every situation he faced, he saw the individual, he saw that they were going through, and he had compassion on them. You know, if there's one thing I can say this morning, if I could look you in the eye this morning, if I could stand before you and face to face look at you, no matter what your situation, it doesn't matter whether you're a young person, doesn't matter whether you're an older person, doesn't matter whether you're healthy or not healthy, doesn't matter whether you're going through financial distress or not. Let me tell you from the Word of God one thing, one message that every individual needs to hear right now. Jesus loves you. You might say, "Pastor, that's so simple." It may be simple, but it's the absolute truth. And no matter what you're going through, whether you're sick, whether your soul is filled with anguish and trouble, whether you're discouraged or depressed, or maybe you're at the point where you're just ready to throw in the towel. Listen, hold on. There's a God in heaven, and his Son, Jesus Christ, the very Lord of all, wants you to know how much he loves you this morning. He wants you to know he loves you. I may not know your circumstances. I may not know you at all, but I know this. And every time I open my Bible and read from Matthew to Mark to Luke to John, and I see folks that are blind, I see folks that are filled with leprosy, I see mothers and fathers who have children that's sick, and people who are despairing of life, cutting themselves, and their life is out of control. And yet every time I see one person, not the multitudes, not even the disciples, but one person, Jesus Christ. And he comes to where they are. And as he looks upon them, his heart is moved with compassion for them. The psalm says over and over, O Lord, thou art full of compassion. And if we're going to learn to have compassion for others, we need to first understand and get it down in our hearts how much the Lord Jesus Christ has compassion for us as individuals. He loves you. The kids sing it. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me it's so. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man that, he wasn't physically sick, but he was a man that, of all people, you would think, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have compassion on this man. This man, Paul. Paul would say he was the chief of sinners. And you know what Paul would write in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20? But he loved me. He loved me. If these were the last words I would ever say to you, it would simply be this. He loves you. He loves you. Young person, Jesus loves you. Man, woman, husband, wife, father, mother, grandpa, I don't care who you are this morning. I know this. I stand here this morning to give you a message from the Lord. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And the first thing we see in verse number 33 is the compassion of this Samaritan, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he journeyed, he came where he was. You know, Jesus Christ, and we've heard it so many times that sometimes we don't catch the depth of it. We miss the magnitude of it. Jesus left heaven and came where we are. He came to this earth. He didn't sit there on his throne in heaven and say, you know, I can take care of this problem of sin, from the throne room of heaven. The Bible says he came where we were. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to us even today through his word where we are. Where we are in our lives. And he looked. And the Lord Jesus Christ is looking down today with compassion on you, with compassion on me. And he sees us. And the Bible says he had compassion on him. But you know, the second thing I want us to notice is this compassion. You know, compassion is not a passive thing. Compassion is something that moves us to a response, to action. The Bible says when you read those verses in those Gospels, whether it's the blind man or the leper or the man that was in the tombs and was in such despair of life, or the woman whose son had died, over and over again, it does not just say that the Lord had compassion. It does not just say that the Lord was compassionate. It says the Lord was moved with compassion. In other words, that compassion, that love of the Lord Jesus Christ caused the Lord Jesus Christ to do something. He was moved with compassion. When we are moved with something, it makes us understand that which we are moved with moves us to do something. And he was moved with compassion. And we see that. We see his compassion in verse number 33, which teaches us that we should have compassion. But too many times we speak of how much we love someone. We speak of how we have compassion. But how does that impact and affect our lives? What do we do with that? You see, in verse number 33, he had compassion. And then verse number 33, we see that compassion, that moved this Samaritan in regards to this man that was had fallen among thieves, stripped of his raiment, wounded, departed, leaving him half dead. Verse number 34 says that compassion moved him to care for this man. Not with words, but with action. And our compassion should move us to an action where we minister one to another. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible tells us that by love we should serve one another. And here we see in verse number 34 that what happened. Look at verse number 34. First of all, he came where he was. He saw him. He had compassion on him. And look what it says. He went to him. He went to him. He went to this man. He didn't ignore him. He didn't pass by him. He didn't call someone up and say, hey, you take care of it. You handle it. No, he personally went to him. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ not only came to this earth to die for our sins, but he comes to us as individuals. And this man went to him. And look what it says. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. From the beginning of verse 34 to the end of verse 34, we see compassion that moved this man to care for this individual. He took care of him. He went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. You know, it doesn't say this Samaritan was it doesn't say what his background was. Doesn't say how much knowledge he had of anything. But he just did what he could. He went to him, he bound up his wounds, he poured in oil, wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. I'm just going to turn to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 53 for a minute. Isaiah 53. As you turn there, let me share with you one more verse. As you turn to Isaiah chapter 53, I want to read to you one more verse, and it's found in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, because this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do most of all in your heart. Psalm 147 and verse number 3, it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know, I can tell you the most important thing this morning for you in your life to know of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he wants to heal your broken heart. He healeth the broken in heart. And when you turn to Isaiah chapter 53, we can see why he's able to do that. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ the one that's able to heal your heart this morning? Why is the Lord Jesus Christ the one that's able to satisfy the longing for your soul? Because in Isaiah 53, it says this, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse number 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see right there in verse number 5 and verse number 6, it tells us why the Lord Jesus Christ is able to heal our broken heart. Why the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bind up our wounds. Why is he is able to heal us spiritually? And it's because when he went to that cross, The Bible says not only did he love us, but he died for us. You know, in Isaiah 53, it says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, when Jesus Christ was on that cross, he took upon himself, and God put upon his Son, all my sin, all my iniquities. The Lord Jesus Christ bore those in his body on the tree for me. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again. Paul said he loved me and he gave himself for me. And because of that, because Jesus Christ bore my sins on the cross of Calvary, he is the only one, and yet he is the one that can heal my broken heart. And you know how he does that? When I, by faith, trusted in him as my Savior, he cleansed me from all my sin. It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And he healed my broken heart. He healed my soul. He healed my relationship with God. And in Luke chapter 10, it says, he went to him. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. I want you to turn to another passage of scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15. And just a few pages over from Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 15. And once again, I want you to understand that this is personal. It's personal to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's personal to you. In verse number 1, then drew near unto him, or near unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the publicans, sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying this, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, is that one you this morning? Doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto him, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're that one person, that one individual, that right now your soul is troubled, your heart is broken. And the Lord Jesus Christ this morning is looking to you and saying, listen, I love you. I'm looking for you. I'm seeking you. I'm coming to you. I want to heal your heart. I want to bind up your wounds. I want to save your soul. I want to minister to you today. I want to put you on my shoulders so that you can have peace and rest. I want to carry you home. I want to rejoice in finding you this morning, that one lost sheep. You know, in Luke chapter 10, it says this. It says, first of all, he had compassion. Verse number 33. Verse number 34, he cared for him. And the Lord Jesus Christ has compassion this morning. He wants to care for your soul this morning. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to minister to you. He gave his life for you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. Please don't ignore him. But in verse number 34, it says he took care of him. But you know, my third point is this is compassion. Not only is moved to care, but that care also continues on with a commitment. Because you see in verse number 35, and on the morrow. So this man takes this man that's nigh unto death, binds up his wounds, pours in the oil and wine, puts him on his own beast, brings him to the inn, takes care of him. And then on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, When I come again, I will repay thee. You see, even after this man cared for this individual that was nigh unto death, the compassion that moved him to care, that compassion not only moved him to care, but moved him to a commitment. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world and died on that cross so that he could save us. But when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only are your sins forgiven, not only is your heart healed, not only are you reconciled unto God, but the Lord Jesus Christ says, now I'm committing myself to take care of your life. Boy, what a promise that is. What a hope that is. What a comfort that is. What an assurance that is. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd of the sheep. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But go down to verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And Jesus says, not only will I save your soul, but I'll take your life and I'll place your life in my hand. And in my hand, you're as safe can be. Because no one can take you out of my hand. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, he understood this, he believed this, he rested in it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, he would say this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he, that's Jesus Christ, Paul says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What was Paul speaking about? Paul was speaking about his life. He was speaking about his eternity. He was speaking about his soul. And he says, I know that as trusting in Jesus Christ, my Savior, I know that he is able to keep, to guard, to protect, to hold on to keep it safe, that which I've committed. Paul, what have you committed? He said, I've committed everything. I've committed today. I've committed tomorrow. I've committed the future. I've committed eternity. I've committed my life. I have committed everything. I have placed everything by faith in the hands of Jesus Christ. And he says, I know he's able to keep it. And boy, what a comfort that is. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ has come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so when you turn back to Luke chapter 10, there's a lesson here. It's a lesson that we should live in regards to others. We should look. And when we look at others, we should see them in their situations and be moved with compassion. But that compassion ought to move us to action, to care for others, to do what we can, whatever it is, to just care for one another. But you know, as the days go by, as the weeks go by, as life may return to normal or somewhat normal, may that compassion and that care not pass by the wayside, but may we be committed to have compassion. May we be committed to care. May we be committed to loving one another, serving one another, ministering to others every day of our lives. Because you know what? That's what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has compassion towards us. He loves us. He loves you this morning. He cares for you. He wants to heal your broken heart. And he's committed to you. He says, I will keep your life. It is safe. A lesson to be lived, first must be a lesson that's learned. And I want to close this morning by just really speaking to you. And just once more, pleading with you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, wherever you are, whoever you are, Jesus Christ loves you. He cares for you. He cares for you more than anybody else cares for you. And he died for you. He bore your sins on Calvary's cross so that he could heal your broken heart, give you eternal life, reconcile you unto the Father, forgive all your sins, and give you peace and rest in your life. And if you're here this morning and you want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you don't have to come to a church building. You have to come to a person named Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is understand how much he loved you, what he did for you. The Bible says you simply repent and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you simply say, Lord, I want you to save me. I believe you died for me. I believe you bore my sins on that cross. Please forgive me. Save my soul. Heal my heart. You know, your words don't have to be perfect because the Lord looks upon your heart. He hears your heart. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In these days in which we live, listen, I know that Jesus Christ is going to have the victory because he already has had the victory. He arose from the grave. We can walk by faith. And we can live by faith. And we can sing by faith. And we can rejoice in faith. And we can walk through these days with the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. Because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know my Savior lives. That's the answer. That's the key. Jesus had compassion. Jesus cared. Jesus committed himself to not only saving you and me, but to securing us through himself. Let's pray.